Land. taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Then rising again, I bless your name. And you are my all in all. You, Lord, when I fall down, you pick me up. And when I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Thank you for your mercy, God, and we thank you for your grace, God, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Bless anyone, Lord, that pushed their way out, Lord. Be with our pastor, God, who brings us word, Lord. We love you so much, God, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, gathering there and for leaving the promise, God, wherever two or three are gathered, Lord. There I am, Lord. You said you'd be here, God. We believe it, Lord. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Let's just sing that song, I'm So Glad Jesus Set Me Free. Amen. How many are so glad this morning about that? Amen.
Amen.
And I'm so Lord Jesus, set me free. Now I'm singing glory. lifted me. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah, for Jesus lifted me.
Amen. How many are glad that he lifted you? Amen. Man, one of these days he's going to keep lifting us, and we'll be out of this world. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all harm. It's the safest place to be in this world. Amen. Leaning on his arms. Amen. I want to be like John leaning on the bosom of Jesus. Amen. But we are the bride, so we are leaning on that bosom. We're in that bosom. Amen. Amen.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What
Wednesday's service. Amen. It was powerful. Amen to me. Amen. Lift up them gates. Amen. We want to go. We want to take back what that enemy stole from us. And that's what we're going to sing next. I want to take back what the enemy stole. Amen. How many want to do that today?
Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Oh, yes, I took back what he stole from me. Oh, yes, I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Well, I went. Oh, and I took back what he stole from me. Oh, yes, I took back. Look what the Lord, oh yeah, look what the Lord has done. Well, he healed my body, he touched my mind. Well, he saved me, he was just in time. Now I'm going, his name, well, each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord, sing that again, look what the Lord, and look what the Lord has. Oh, now, look what, hallelujah, Lord. Well, now, he touched my body, he touched my mind. Well, he saved me, he was just in time. Now I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord, one more time, look what the Lord. Oh, well, look what our Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Healed my body. Well, he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. He was just in time. Now I'm gonna praise his name. Well, he says it's just the same. Whoa, come on and praise him. Look what our Lord has done. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name, Father. Amen. How many come expecting the word of God? Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. No matter what, if I can't see it, Lord, I'm going to believe in you no matter what. Amen. Because your word says it, Father. As our brother Cam prepares himself to come, amen. And Lord, I believe in you.
Yeah. Amen. Let's give God a round of applause. Amen. Good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated just for a moment here. We appreciate all that we're able to make it out to the house of God this morning. Amen. We're going to try to sing a song this morning by the grace of God. And we're just going to sing a song. I always sing, something keeps holding me. Amen. The trials of this world were getting stronger. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. Now I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me. Oh, every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly and giving me victory. Oh, it's my reality that something keeps holding me. Hallelujah. Now Satan laid before me his temptation. Lord, of his desire to steal away my revelation. Hallelujah. But I felt within myself a little fire that was burning. It was the strength I needed to help me in this race. Well, something keeps holding me. Oh, every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly and giving me victory. Oh, it's our reality that Jesus keeps holding me. Oh, and it's our reality that Jesus keeps holding me. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. We're going to jump right into the Word now. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word, amen. It's the first time I've seen that. I sung that with the accompaniment of guitar. Amen. Brother Steve did an excellent job. Amen. Praise God. We're going to open up our Bibles this morning. We're going to go in our Bibles first to Psalms 24, verse 7. And I always say this, but I do recommend that if you've not been able to make it on Wednesday nights, that you certainly get the sermons from there. As far as, because I really believe that there's things there that are being sowed that will greatly benefit your walk with God. And just another service, I suppose. And this is a continuation of that sermon itself, but at a different angle. And that's what I love about the Word of God. It doesn't matter how many times you look over it, you look through it, you can find that God runs so many times through His Word in different ways. And you can even take the same Scripture in multiple ways. Amen?
Amen.
So I pray by the grace of God you'll be blessed this morning. After we go to Psalms 24, we're going to go to Psalms 110. Amen? It says in Psalms 24, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. How many got a Lord that's mighty in battle this morning? Praise God. Ninth verse, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." I love this part. Who is this King of glory? Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Salah, which means pause. So, of course, we understand who is this King of glory. He said, the Lord of hosts. Why did He say that? Because that's the only way He knew Him.
Amen.
Well, how's that changed? Oh, come on now. These are ABCs. You have the King of glory. You know His name. Amen. And remember the difference that you see. You see an incomplete revelation prophesying. But now you see the completed revelation right before your eyes. Amen. As far as the psalmist had no idea who this was. All right, Psalms 110, verse 1. I pray you're interested in the Word of God. It's a lovely thing. Amen. I love the unfolding of that Word, because we find that even within that unfolding, God is constantly trying to make Himself known. Amen. That surely is a blessing. Now, in Psalms 110, verse 1, it says, "Your psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So He said what? He said, sit right next to me until I make all your enemies. I'll make thine enemies thy footstool. Amen? Now lastly, I want to go to Matthew 27:52. Just one more. Amen. And trying to find the leading of the Lord this morning, and I felt led that this is the place to come back. We'll finish sowing this morning, and we'll allow it to, of course, by the grace of God, to reap forth the grace of God in your life. Amen. The Word is sowed that it might bring an increase. Well, where does that Word bring an increase in? In that which it was sowed at. This might be a little curveball for some of you. It says here, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You this morning, God. I love Your Word, God. And Lord, I'm so, oh God, looking forward to You preaching to us this morning, God. Give us the Word that we need here, Lord God. Lord, if You need to take me off topic, You go right ahead, God. You're God, Lord. I yield myself to You right now. And I pray that the church, God, being awakened, oh God, this morning into the newness of life in Christ, that, Lord, we're not here slumbering, God, but we're here, oh God, to receive Your Word, God. Lord, every time, God, that the Word comes forth, there's a purpose for that Word, God. There's a dictation that word must take in our lives, God. It must take an avenue, God, express itself, God, and bring forth an unfolding in our lives, God. Lord, unfold your word in our lives, God, we ask. And God, I pray this morning, God, certainly, Lord, that we would hunger, Lord, for this righteousness, God, that you've given us, God. Lord, we, as we keep saying, God, it's a knowledge of what we are, God. But Lord, let the knowledge be revelation, God, that we might complete the cycle, God. Lord, the last church, O God, to receive, O God, the death within the Gentile realm, God. God, this is our calling in the Gentile dispensation, God, that we would not taste death, God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, bring it upon us, I pray, O God. And Lord, I just ask you, God, Lord, you know I can't put this together, Lord. I need your help, Lord. God, come and speak to your children, God. We just ask, O God, with everything surrendered in our lives, that you'd be Lord of all, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride says together, agreeing, saying, Amen. You may be seated. Maybe just to look over this just a little bit before we start getting into it. We understand that, of course, Wednesday, when we were looking up into these things, we were finding that Psalms 24 was a prophecy. But like I said, it actually within the Scripture, we have many double prophecies. We have some that actually have more within the prophecy than a lot of times that we'd like to think, because a lot of times we like to be fixated that the word would only mean one direction or one thing, but we find so many times that the word expresses so much more than just that. Amen. And this morning, if we had a title, we'd like to give it "The King of Glory Shall Come In." Amen. Just changed it a little bit from Wednesday, but we are going to actually aim at a slightly different direction this morning. And I pray this will be a blessing to you. I don't really have the ability to put anything together, but I'm just going to try to get into that anointing, which I love to get into myself. It makes me a little more happy, makes me a little more excited, and when I can feel that God working on me, amen, that's something to me, I mean, that means about everything, amen. Just like I pray that your desire is to allow this God to work on you, amen. Doesn't matter if you're tired this morning, there's still a God that wants to work on you. Amen? So yet, in the fullness of it, we would like to, like I said, entitle it once more, just for those who may be half awake, "The King of Glory Shall Come In." And I'd like to take a topic this morning, if we could. I'd like to give it a topic this morning, the Old Testament rapture. Amen? And by the grace of God, we'll try to make some sense out of this. The Lord kind of showed a few things to me, and I just want them to be a blessing to you, as the Lord will allow it to be a blessing. Amen? So yet this morning, as we have learned in our Scriptures, we actually took Psalms 24 on Wednesday, and we're actually moving with the line of thought that when you lift up the doors, lift up the gates, and the King of Glory shall come in, that it was literally a prefigure of what Pentecost would be as far as God coming into the lives of individuals and pouring out the Holy Ghost upon them. But yet there is another angle to this, and by the grace of God, I found it very interesting when we were looking at the first angle as far as allowing the King of Glory to come in, that it was actually basically bridged right from the fact that God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. But yet, this right here, as far as our direction this morning, we'll actually be looking at the continuation as far as what God is trying to do in this day, as far as what He did there, and to know that there's yet another multitude that will be raptured, not just like the first one, but it will be almost, maybe I'll say it this way, it will almost replicate what God did in His first multitude rapture, amen? So by the grace of God, you have to understand that when God does something, He a lot of times is doing that shadowing what His desire fully is. Amen? But yet this morning, we want to start out, if we could, in the book of Genesis 3, if you would like to turn there. We'll try to go on with this in the 14th verse. Amen. Give me any amens you can this morning. Amen. We'll allow God to have His way. Amen? All righty. Genesis 3:14, very familiar passage here. Obviously, one that we really like to focus on, but yet, by the grace of God, we understand in the 14th verse, here now, judgment comes in line. Satan had possessed the serpent, and the serpent had did his duty, and now we see God pronouncing judgment upon him. But we find out in the 14th verse, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now this is what we want to focus on, the 15th verse. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed." Enmity would be hatred, or actually a variance against each other. But yet we find it says, "And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Amen? Now notice, this is the Lord saying to the serpent, prophesying to the serpent, okay, there's going to be one come in her seed that will bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. Now, remember, the word bruise actually means to lay great damage in. As we see that a bruise in a body shows that there has happened something to the body where it has actually offset the natural course of it. It's actually put sort of a hurt into that member in the body, in which it now has allowed a pain to go forth to it, and it cannot function as wholly as it was meant to function, okay? So I'd like to start here and just to lay down a little foundation that here God is prophesying that one would come that would lay a damage to the serpent's seed. He would bruise. Now notice what member that this is talking about. But he would actually bruise the head of the serpent. Amen? So notice he would actually not just go after a heel. Because remember, the heel is what would be bruised of God, right? His seed, the heel, would be bruised. But notice the serpent's head would be bruised of his seed. As far as the head is the area in which all sense derives from. All direction derives from. Amen? Everything that is important, it must start from the head. That's why you see someone that's maybe a little slower, has had some sort of of injury to the head, that it doesn't work just right. It can't work right, because all direction that comes to that source of life, it moves from the head out. But notice, there's a great difference between the head and the heel, because the heel, now notice, the heel is part of the body, but the heel is not the source of all direction. The heel is the walk or the area in which the individual by mind puts itself. It just shows that there would be a little damage that would be done there, but it would not stop the mind from progression. And church, what was this a prophecy of? Literally, that one day God, what? He would knock Satan's kingdom out. He would make a blow to Satan, that Satan would no longer have right over the children of God. And all it would take is just a bruise to the heel. Amen. Good thing about that is you don't need your heel to run. But yet we find that you literally look and prophecy coming forth, and God's prophecy is what? That there'd be someone someday Who would what? Who would give you victory? The prophecy is that there would be one who would bruise his kingdom. So whenever that one would come forth, he would put a great hindrance into the mind that was operating that kingdom. That's been done. So there should be no bruise to you. You're the Word. Now, to clarify a little bit more, Job 19:25, he says here, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." So now Job prophesying, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Prophesying that I know my Redeemer, one would redeem him, and that he would see God in his flesh, and that God would justify him by his faith. Showing what? He knew God would do something for him. He knew the ball was in God's court. Praise God. Now, if we'd like to continue on, I just want to show you just very quickly the progression of the Word. Watching God, His desire to actually take the kingdom. Amen? And how it was prophesied by himself, prophesied by many before, Isaiah, David, and so forth. They prophesied of the one that would come, right? And that he would what? He would literally set men free. Okay? Now, there's a purpose behind all this, if you'll just give me a second here. I want to go and show you one more. Amen. Now, we know that the Scripture says very quickly in Matthew 16, it said in the 21st verse, it says, "From that time forth," now this is right after the keys are given to Peter. He says, "From that time forth, Jesus began to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, priests, chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Amen. So, Job prophesied it, the Lord prophesied it, Isaiah. All the way down the list, we find the prophecy. These men are looking for what? The one to redeem them. And now the Redeemer comes on and says the same word to Peter. And Peter says, "No. You need a rebuking because this is not what you're supposed to do." And what? So God says to Peter, he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savest not the things of God, but the things of your own self." Praise God. Now, I'm showing you this to show you that when the mind gets off the Word, you lose your possession. You become influenced of another source. There has to be a pathway of that Word. It was the pathway that Peter walked in. He was to accompany the Word to the fulfillment of all the prophecies before. But what? He did not have the revelation to walk in that. So he tried to hinder that. He tried to hinder the sacrifice that would bruise Satan's head. That's why Jesus told him, "Get behind me, Satan." Because Peter didn't know it, but even Satan didn't know it. Remember, if Satan knew that the death blow to Christ would do what it did, he would have never done it. No way. But here, nonetheless, Satan is trying to hinder what Jesus wants to do. Not knowing why, he just always wants to fight God. Isn't that nice? Now, one more, and then we're going to start moving.
Matthew 26:52. I'm just laying down a little foundation here. Because I want you to see that literally you'll find that you are sitting in the greatest blessing of God right now. Right now. Look at that excitement. I'm sitting in the greatest blessing of God. You Pentecostals. You're the hooters and hollers, aren't you? Hooting and hollering all service long.
Amen.
Hallelujah! I'll get one for the team there, okay? Now Matthew 26:52, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to the Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? So now we see again, what? Judas coming with a gang to take Jesus. Peter strikes him with the ear. And now we find Jesus saying, put your sword away. Don't you get what you're trying to do? Again, you are trying to stop the word from taking its place. Here's a man that is completely bruised by Satan. I'm talking about Peter. Peter is what? He is so bruised of Satan that Satan can what? Can portray his will upon Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, you think one guy with a sword is going to do anything here? Don't you realize I could call 12 legions right now? But this is the problem. You're trying to stop the word. The word needs to be fulfilled. So what? There he is, completely bruised by the devil. He's had his senses wounded. Because remember, back in Matthew 16, he was already telling them what he was supposed to do. He had already called Peter. What? He said, get behind me, Satan. He already told him that. And here, he spent all that time telling him what has to happen. And now when it's finally got to come to pass, he says what? He says, it's time to fight. When Jesus said, no, you're missing the... So Jesus died for the complete ignorance. The complete false revelation. So that the true could come upon. Well, what am I trying to lay here? I'm trying to show you that the kingdom of Satan was not bruised. He still took God's children to hell with him. They still did not have the ability to live it like they were supposed to. All the way to the crucifixion. Because we know what the scripture says. The scripture says, in finishing off this, he says, in the 56th verse, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It all had to happen to fulfill the word. So now, I want you to see the foundation that we're laying down. The whole point was to free the human race. The whole point was that Satan's kingdom needed to be bruised. God was tired of allowing sin
to take hold on His children, right? He was tired of the wrong revelation portraying from their mind. The things that they thought were important. All Peter had was a different pathway for the Word to go. To go in his life. But it was not the pathway the Word had chosen. And that's our problem many times. We find ourselves in the pathway that the Word is trying to express a pathway. We have to follow this pathway. But what if I'm like Peter? We'll get the Holy Ghost. Come on! We should be able to do the will of the Father. To do the will of the Son. Because they are one. And most importantly, why? Because His dominion has been took away. Hallelujah! So now, let's turn a little direction here. Let me see how long I've been. I hate to keep you too long. Hey, the only visitor we got to worry about entertaining is the Holy Ghost Himself. So now, let's notice this here. We find in Psalms 24, verse 7, if we'd like to turn back there. It's talking about something else. And like I said, I'm going to make this ring with the prophecy that we already been through and try to show you a few things. Everything was coming down to what the Word was. Amen? Now, I'm going basically slightly pre-crucifixion to the Acts church. We're going right there. And then we're going to bring it to your day. Okay? Hold on. Hold on. Now, Psalms 24:7, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates." Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. "And the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, this is what I was trying to show you before, that David did not have a revelation of what he was saying here. All he knew in one instance, he knew that if the house of God was built, he knew that the Holy Ghost would come into it. Because what? If the tabernacle was built, of badger skins and so forth. The ark that was put in there would what? Allow the glory to come in with the ark. So he knew that if a house was built, the glory would come into it. But now we're moving into a heavenly realm. And I want you to see that he did not know the fulfillment of this. It was this Jesus Christ. Who was this? This was, to his thinking, the Lord of hosts, which Jesus Christ is. But the revelation had to be manifest in what it was. Okay? So now, notice here, if we could, we find out, according to the Scripture, if we could, I want us to start seeing this in Hebrews 10, if we could, 11. Got a lot of scriptures here. The 11th verse said, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Amen. So the sins of the Old Testament could not be fully done away with. Therefore, there was hell awaiting for all that were in the Old Testament. Okay? But this man, 12th verse, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. offering has perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering, He perfected. You perfected. He perfected them that are sanctified. Praise God. Now notice what it's saying here. It says that He had to make the sacrifice. And according to Hebrews 10, verse 4, it says, it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So He says what? He says, bulls and goats will do you no good. They would do enough that only a sacrifice would have to be done once a year for all the people of the year, but it still would not eternally free you. But this sacrifice, once and for all, would put you in heavenly places. But notice, it was not just a promise to man, it was a promise to God. But why was it a promise to God? Because remember, the scripture said in Hebrews 10, 12, said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Right hand? The power, authority of God. Notice, 13th verse. From henceforth, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. Now notice this. He took a bruise on the heel, but yet, in taking that bruise, He sat down at the right hand of the Father and said, what? All my enemies will be at this bruise. At these feet. Not your bruise. Not somebody else's bruise. But all the enemies would be subject to His feet. Because it was His bruise, so it would not have to be yours. So what? He went to the power of God, but yet He had to wait. But notice in His waiting, there was an expectation.
Amen.
He said, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
Well, what's that saying? He has sat at the right hand of the Father, waiting for everything that has caused Him what? Occasion. Everything that has what? Tried to hinder His work.
Amen. That's right.
Be careful now. Because what you don't realize as you're sitting here is that He still has some enemies to overcome. You see, the Word is not complete without His female attribute. So the female attribute has to overcome. Well, wait a minute. What is? Oh, am I the enemy of God? No! But this is. Because what does Christ need to conquer? Has He conquered death? He conquered death. Has He conquered the grave? He's conquered the grave. He has what? He has enemies still to be conquered. You've got to overcome this enemy. This what? It's the same enemy that Peter had. When He would shoot from the mouth and say what? You don't have to die.
Come on, brother.
He wanted what? He was trying to stop Christ's flesh from being crucified. But Christ's flesh crucifixion was the only way that yours could be crucified. So now, notice, if you would like to move there with me, we're going to go with this, because remember, when does Christ have all enemies under His feet? When all His bride is received. Judgment sets in. Well, wait a minute. Don't you realize if there was no child of God on this world right now, this would already be done. But He would still have enemies. No, He would stop the work. Because He's only here to receive you. He ain't worried about the last line of elephants. He ain't worried about the last line of serpent seed. Well, wait a minute. The only thing He's concerned about is what? Receiving His bride. Yeah. Receiving His people. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to see this, if you could. Turn with me to Matthew 27, 52. And I hope I'm not taking too long of a way to get to where I'm going. Because I want you to understand that we start running into some awesome parallels. And some things that really start to bridge your mind into the realm of the supernatural. Because remember, it was Christ's desire to be what? To be at the fullness of God. But to be the fullness of God, He had to have the people of God in the fullness to bring forth worship to Him. Can God be the full object of worship if His whole body is not worshiping Him? Well, remember, this is a body work. How's He going to make it? You think God's going to start a rapture if everyone that's meant to go in that rapture isn't in position? He can't. He can't. So it's coming down to you. Now, let's continue here. Where'd I tell you to go? Anybody know? All right, good, that's where I was going to go. Matthew 27, 52, that says, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, we see Christ's purpose being fulfilled. He died. But notice, His death was brought to bring forth resurrection. And now remember, according to the scripture, we have six raptures that are supposed to happen. Of course, we have Enoch who was raptured. We have Elijah who was raptured. And then we have the third rapture. And a lot of times we try to configure things within our minds, but you have to remember the scripture here actually says that the saints did not rise until after Christ resurrected. Now, we know according to 1 Peter 2 that when Christ died, His mission was not complete. He had to go to hell and to preach to the lost. Amen? But He just didn't preach to the lost. He went into Satan's room and he went in and took the keys of death and hell. Remember, I like it how your prophet said it. He said He walked down there and Satan said, I've got him. Amen. But he said, Jesus went in and said, give me them keys, devil. And your prophet said He kicked him to the wall. Amen. Satan lost. His hand! He lost the keys. So what did he control? Does he control you?
Come on, brother.
All he can control is animals.
Come on.
How can he control you? He's not made to control you. He never was. But without a kinsman redeemer, God could not put the controller inside of you.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Amen. Amen. So now, I pray that I can make a little more sense of this. I bet half here sitting here, what in the world is this guy talking about? But yet we find out that the whole purpose that God was trying to interject is that there'd have to be a people that would be able to what? To receive this sacrifice. Amen. Now, let's continue if we could. I'd like to read a quote for you. Let's start right here first. Now, I read this quote on Wednesday night, and I want to read it again. I want to emphasize just a little bit more on it, okay? Hebrews chapter 2, 57 says, the Bible said, he ascended on high and gave gifts unto man. There was an atmosphere hung over the earth of darkness, of gloom, of death, and weary. The prayers couldn't come up because the atonement wasn't made. The prayers couldn't even come up because there's no atonement yet. What humanity appeared to be lost. Now, but he broke through that veil. He opened up the way. He broke the veil of sickness, the veil of sin, the veil of weary. He broke the veil of depressed. He broke every veil and made a highway for the wayfaring man walking up the king's highway.
Amen.
So this is what I want you to see. Now, notice, if we could, we turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 4, 14. So, here the people are. They have no stronghold. No stronghold. I love how the prophet said the prayers weren't even going up. There's nothing but gloom and doom on the people. Makes you wonder why a Christian wouldn't pray. Because it's Satan's aim. Because remember, before, didn't matter quite so much. But now, it's open. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 4:14. Now notice the change. Seeing then that we have a high priest. Seeing now that we have Jesus Christ. Notice that is passed into the heavens. So what? Now it says, seeing now we have a high priest. What's the change? And he's passed into the heavens. The sacrifice has made it into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Seeing now, now that redemption has took place, now that freedom has come to the church, now that the veils have been broken, what? Then you didn't have a full purpose. When the scripture said, by the rivers of the Babylon, they held their heads down. They mourned. They had no joy. Paul could turn it back around and say, what? God! You're free!
Amen. Hallelujah!
You know what? Sorrow lasts for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. You know, that was the psalmist that said that. What about you? Because you got the joy. You got this, girl. You got the power. Before the prayers couldn't even come up. But now that we have a high priest. Fifteenth verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now what's it doing?
Good.
Remember, though God was omniscient, God did not feel the infirmities of the people because He had never yet been flesh. He come down, He made, put dust together and made a Melchizedek. But He did not feel the infirmities of flesh. Hallelujah! Look at the scripture. When God was above, you see it what? When Israel complained, God said, Moses, separate yourself and we'll start over. But what? He had not come yet and manifest Himself. But now that we have a high priest who can be touched by our infirmities. Why? Because when He become manifest in the flesh, He what? He could now feel your infirmity.
Yes. Come on, brother. Yes.
Meaning what? Your prayers. He could what? Now,
amen.
You could completely unite.
Because
the Savior had come and lived the same flesh that you did. So what? So now, when you felt like He did, He would what? He would have a feeling.
Amen.
He would feel touched by the way the things you'd been through. He could now feel the same way.
Amen. That's right, brother.
He could actually, because remember, said, let us hold fast.
Amen.
You still have to hold fast. You say, okay, God, I don't, I feel sad. Profess!
Amen.
Profess what?
Amen. Come on, brother.
God, I have no reason to be sad. Oh, I got a reason. I got a reason to be depressed. You do? Why? Jesus lived everything you should have lived.
Amen.
Right? But the difference is you have to hold it fast because what? He held fast and He held everything.
Amen.
He held on long enough that what? That joy come back. The devil tempted Him. Amen. It didn't matter. He didn't eat 40 days. He still could hold on to the Word. So what is He saying? Because I did it, you do it. Why do you think the Scripture says He put all things under His feet? To become the head of the church, which is His body. So He put all things under His feet.
Come on. That's right. Absolutely.
So He could become the head of the body.
Come on, brother.
So what? New situation comes on. You know, we always go through the situations that no one's ever been through before.
Come on, brother.
And when they come on us, we say, oh God, no one knows how I feel. Nobody's a victim like I'm a victim.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But what you don't understand is that's the whole purpose of what Christ did.
Amen.
Because His purpose was to put it under His feet.
That's right, brother.
So when He come in you, it was under your feet.
Amen. Come on.
Well, God, how do I put it under my feet? What's the problem? You just live with it. I know we want to play all these games with living with oppression, living with disease, living with everything. But when are we going to step it up and say, I've got a profession here? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You look in the Old Testament and say, oh, they sat in caves. They were sawn in half.
Come on, brother.
Oh, they went through so much. And they did it without the Holy Ghost.
Come on, now. Right, brother.
But something better was made for you. That they could not be made perfect without you.
Amen.
Don't you understand that you complete Christ?
Amen. That's right, brother.
You complete Christ.
Amen.
Christ died on the cross. Christ became your high priest.
Amen.
But there's still the female attribute of Christ that must be played out.
Come on, brother. Come on.
So why can't you overcome like He overcome?
Come on, brother.
If all He's trying to do is receive unto Himself, Himself. Oh, Lord Jesus. But was all in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Grace? Grace to help? Grace? Jesus says, yep, I overcome that. Look at them holding on there. Look at them fighting for that.
Come on.
It's theirs.
Right. Come on, brother.
Why? They deserve it? No. Still got that enemy I'm fighting.
Come on. Come on.
You know the one that's supposed to be under His feet. Is your back hurt? It's not your back. Your original back is glorified.
Amen. That's right.
You're looking for a restoration.
Amen.
Did you realize that God could even heal the serpent on you and make it conform to the image of this gospel?
Come on!
I know we shall be changed, but this is still the serpent that needs to be bruised. Oh, I know! I thought about the other day. I said, yep, I still have my number one enemy. Yep, he's still the one fighting me. He's still the one that's always got a better idea how to do things. But I should look and say, watch! That this is not my control tower. My control tower is the Holy Ghost. So now, continuing on, I want us to see a few more things before we go too far. Look at what we find when we look at the resurrection. We find that the resurrection could not happen of the Old Testament saints until what? Until Christ had went down to hell and freed them and allowed them to come forth.
Why did he let them go? Why did he let them go? Tell me. Why? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 13. That's why I love this. It says, these all died in faith. Not having received the promise. Wait a minute. So God saved them because they had faith without the promises. This is why God raptured them. Notice, but having seen them afar off, we're persuaded of them and embraced them. Notice, they did not have the promise. They could not embrace the materialized promise. They could not embrace the materializing of it, but they embrace the revelation of the promise. Well, what's preached to you? The revelation of the promises. And here, we're sitting here saying, God, I'm embracing this promises. These are my promises. Oh, come on. Wait a minute, what's going on then?
Come on, brother.
Because notice the stage they had to take. Because there was no sacrifice, they could only embrace a revelation without the substance.
That's right.
Which would show when it comes to you, you would have to embrace a revelation. But you're different because you would embrace the substance. The Acts Church embraced the substance. Hallelujah. Is this too deep? Have I lost everybody? Notice. It says, and embrace them and confess. They were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Could you imagine? Why do you think I started the way I started? To show you! Jesus said, a seed is coming who will free you. Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Ezekiel says, I see a wheel within a wheel. And we look and see that the only reason they were raptured was because of the faith.
Come on, amen.
The faith could not bring forth the promises because the sacrifice had not been given.
Amen. That's right, brother.
So if God was to ever bring forth again, He would have to find people who would embrace the faith. The faith of these promises.
That's right.
And sit there with an unrealized faith? No. But they would have to hold on to that faith until the faith brought forth the promises. Oh, hallelujah. We sit here bound up this morning. We sit here and let our faith latch. Oh God, is this the church? Oh God, is this a preacher? Oh God, am I a Christian? Oh God. Wake up! Get some faith! The sacrifice has been made known! And you have been told how to make this sacrifice live! It was made to move through your emotion! remember, we have a high priest. We have now a high priest. He's touched by the things we hold on to. Let us come boldly now. Boldly why? Because He wants to give you the promises. Come on, I'm the crazy preacher that keeps on telling you that there's a manifestation that must come forth from your seed. A unique code that must come forth from your life. It has all the souls that need to be saved through your ministry. It has all the healings, all the deliverances that must come forth from your life. It has everything that has been coded to come forth for you, from you. And until it is manifest, it cannot bring forth a rapture. No way. No possible way. But we sit here. God, who am I? I know who I am.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
What? You see, that's where you have to leave knowledge and come to faith. Because what is faith compared to knowledge?
Lord, come on now. Amen. Right.
I'm talking about an embracing.
Amen. Come on now.
Faith embraces.
Amen.
The knowledge and intellectual conception will get you nowhere. But when you show that you've embraced what God has done, now we're talking about something. Now notice the characteristic of these Old Testament saints. What? They subdued. What? Notice 14th verse. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. 15th verse. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now remember, what does the Scripture say down the lines? It says, the world was not worthy. They subdued kingdoms. What? They went through legions. They fought battles. They overcome. All from an embraced faith. Now, I want to touch another characteristic very quickly. Is you find that something common about the saints, and what was always a nice Bible study for all of us, was the Easter message. How that you find that in Matthew 27:52, you find that God, He brought forth an Old Testament rapture there. But remember, within the study, there is a placement that they had to be buried. So they were all fighting to be in that land. Remember, the land is a type of the Holy Ghost. And yet here, they were fighting. Remember, Joseph said, don't leave my bones here. Take me to my promise, to the homeland. Every time when they died, they would be in that homeland. Because they had to be in position for their rapture. And burial place was the only thing that set them there. Well, what are you talking about, brother? Remember, in Romans 6:3, it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. So now, what? We're looking that God wanted to do a resurrection. So He let everybody come to the homeland. But now,
look at the type that you receive. Now, you receive the comment that you must be buried in a place as well. Hallelujah! You have to be buried into His death. Buried with Christ. I like this. Colossians 2:11 says, in whom also ye are crucified with crucifixion, circumcision, made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism. So who are you buried with? You have to have the same burial that was natural. Now it's become spiritual. You have to come into true death. Notice, it says, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith. Risen through the faith of the operation of God. The faith of His operation. Surgeon? You are to understand His operation. You have to understand that if you die to Him, His operation says you're risen with Him. The faith says, I'm already in heavenly places. The faith says what? I can subdue. I can overcome. I can touch the high priest. That's most of our problem. We don't even believe we can touch the high priest. Come on. If you touch the high priest right now, wouldn't you be acting different? Come on. Let's wake up. This is not church. It's church. You don't even know what church is. Church is not a building. Church is a people. So what? So that shows that this is not a church. As far as by building recognition. But yet, there's a mystical church that is right here that believes who they are. Meaning what? You have the option. You are sitting in the church right now. Natural. But technically, you're sitting with the church right now. What places you in that church? Oh, I believe. Well, come on. When are we going to let faith start operating? Why is faith so hard to come into this day? Because Satan knows that look at what they did without faith to my kingdom. As far as, look at what they did without Christ. They put their faith for the seed faith. But notice, you're made to move through the faith of Christ. Why are you sitting here bored? Why are you sitting here tired? Can't you touch the high priest?
Amen.
Don't you have the high priest?
Amen.
Come on.
Come on.
We ought to be fighting to get up in here.
Amen.
Like we said the other day, we ought to be what?
Come on, brother.
If you look at the prophet, he said, anybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost, they said they can't wait for the doors to be open. They're going to be there.
Amen.
Right,
brother. Right.
Come on. We gotta fight to stay in this body.
Amen.
fight. Why? Because your strength is sitting right here.
Amen. That's right, brother.
It's not a building. The building's here. It's a spiritual building.
Come on. Amen.
You have to fight. Oh, the pastor's after me. Don't you realize that 2013 would be a year that people would be spiritually dying? People don't find the significance in church. I'm not talking to people who aren't just coming. I'm talking to everybody. There's a significance that the Spirit of God is trying to release in this church. He can't release it if you don't care. If this ain't your life. If this ain't everything. Oh, I gotta be in a building. No! You have to be where the sons and daughters of God are. Come on! You want me to say it again? Yes, I will then. Notice, you can get healed here. We don't believe that. Wait a minute. They without faith receive their children back to life. Without the faith, I'm talking about Christ now. They with their faith, what? Subdued. Watch God. Don't get mad at me now. Because we don't understand where this thing's sitting at. We have to fight to get in the house of God. Come on. You know what? I come in here on a Wednesday night. I come in here on a Sunday night. I come in here this morning. I'm tired. I'm tired. Do I look tired right now? Why am I not yawning while I'm preaching? Why am I not sitting still? Don't you realize I have come under an anointing? And if you find that anointing, you can live. You can what? You can be alive. Oh, hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times I have been sick and I want to preach and it's disappeared. Hallelujah! Why do you feel better? Why aren't you tired? Because I have a post of duty I have to be at. How much more should we act alive in the house of God? God hasn't answered a lot of prayers up front lately. God hasn't answered a lot of my prayers yet. Oh, so it's time to let your faith down. Doesn't sound like you've embraced much then, have you? You've only embraced a temporary satisfaction from the King. Who is this King of glory? Remember, Hebrews 6 talks of these people who were once enlightened, partook of the Holy Ghost, and seeing they fall from God afresh, there's no more repentance for them. Being a partaker of the heavenly blessings is not a proof of who I am. My faith is a proof of who I am. I live for God. I fight for God. Nothing's more important than God.
Amen.
Oh, I know. I fall short too, but I am fighting everything I can for it. Come on. Perhaps you know half the trials that these brothers have been through and I have been through just trying to get this church done. Make me want to pass out right now. Ooh, here it comes. Faith said it's going to happen. I'm going all the way, church. Have you decided you're going all the way? Don't let this fall on dull ears. Because what makes your ears dull is that you don't understand that this is a year in which a life without the Holy Ghost is a very difficult one to live with, to recover from, and to stay alive. We need to fight like this is our last breath. I ain't talking about losing nobody. We gotta fight. If your brother or your sister or whoever, pray for them, but hold on. But don't expect me to watch it and not say anything, because I want to go to rapture and you come with me. The same God that saved you, He's still going to save. The same God that healed, He's still going to heal. The same God that was real is still real. It's coming down to what you've embraced. Have you embraced the people? They're nice people. Because embracing nice people doesn't get you into rapture. Embracing nice people does not get you into church.
Right. Right.
Oh, I need something. Oh, that's a good place for it. I ain't talking about anybody here. I'm just saying this, that we cannot have this mindset. These people in the church are my enemy. Some of them are my enemy. Two of them are my enemy. Yep, I got to stay away. This is the fullness of Christ right here. We're holding on. We're fighting. Don't you think I got problems just like you got problems? This is all we have. Remember, when we get this together, now you're putting together the temples of God. Where's the pillar of fire at? Should be in you. Should be in you. Should be in you. Should be in you.
Right.
If the pillar of fire should be in you, shouldn't you be here?
Come
on. I'm hitting this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't do this 4 months ago. Sorry I didn't do this a year ago. But if you want to see a living Jesus Christ, do I need to set lazy boys up in here? What do you want this to be? Some sort of a place that we just relax? When it says through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They received their dead children to life. And all they did was embrace it. And God comes back around. And what? He says, I got a rapture for you.
Amen.
Well, wait a minute. The Word had to be crucified. Well, I tell you now, has the Word been crucified afresh again? It's been crucified. But remember the purpose of this. Is to show you that the way is open. Remember, the Scripture says, says in the Scripture, if we would like to turn there, let's go to Ephesians 4:7. Says here, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, you catch that? When he ascended on high, when did he ascend on high? The Old Testament rapture. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Amen. Amen.
fill all things. You're sitting here and you have a God that says, I filled all things. I have ascended. I have led captivity captive. Come on now. Oh, look at how quiet we all got now. See, I can preach deep things all the time, church. But when it comes close to home, can we get excited about it? Should be one individual that's mad for your son or daughter or God. We need to fight for this thing. We need to hold on. We've got to stand, church. We've got to fight. Are you part of this rapture? There's a falling away happening. Are you falling away? Let's hold on. Let's fight. Don't let the devil play any tricks on you. Every one of us. God bring a paraplegic in here. God can heal him.
Amen.
Devil comes to you and says, no, no, no. You watch, nothing's been going on here. Who am I going to embrace? And I am going to embrace the word, or am I going to embrace a reasoning word?
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
Every one of us. Well, how many of you say, yeah, Brother Cam's going to pray for him. Praying going to get healed. You got any Holy Ghost about you? You say, I'm praying with Brother Cam. God is going to heal. What have you embraced? What are you showing for? Are you ready for a Gentile resurrection?
Come on, brother. Come on. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's read a few things. Rapture 171, brother. 65. It says the Old Testament saints has gone into his presence. Paradise done away. Paradise done away. Remember the Old Testament saints, they went to paradise, placed in hell. When God raptured them, it was done away with. And the Old Testament saints ascended up at his loud voice when he screamed and gave up the ghost. Why? Because why? The sacrifice, the propitiation of sins that they had waited on, believing that perfect lamb was coming. I believe that the perfect lamb is coming. Do you believe? The same thing they did should be on you. I believe that the great promises are getting ready to strike here. Well, come on. Don't worry. It's going to strike. You're always saying that. Something in here is always saying that. I'm just making this say what this says up in here.
Amen.
Because that's where it has to come from.
Amen.
I got a substance. They had offered the sacrifice, the lamb. And when he had died and yielded up the ghost, he screamed with a loud voice, and the Old Testament saints awoke. Watch the shout and the voice over here. The same thing. That is coming.
Right.
Because they embrace the Lamb. Notice, he yielded up the ghost, and when he did, the sacrifice was perfect. And paradise emptied out. The Old Testament saints came to the earth again, walked around on earth, and entered in with him at his rapture.
Right.
Third rapture was the Keystone Rapture. Christ himself, the rapture, the first fruits of the resurrection. The fourth rapture was the Old Testament saints. What? taking the keystone and rapturing themselves. Continuing. 172, David said over there, lift up ye everlasting gates and be ye lifted up. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, and the Old Testament saints went in with him. They said, who is this King of righteousness? The Lord of glory, mighty in host. Mighty host, here they come in marching. Jesus led captivity captive. And here he comes with the Old Testament saints and went in the new gates up there and said, lift up the everlasting gates. Be lifted up and let the King of glory come in. The voice come from inside said, who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. The gates flew open. And Jesus, a conqueror, led captivity captive. Them that had believed on him and the word had come to them. Wait a minute! Don't you see it? The saints that were raptured were dead. They died in that place. Which shows why you don't have to all be dead at this rapture. Because this is a spiritual death, not a natural death. If the spiritual death has occurred, you will resurrect with Him. Which shows that what? The third Exodus has moved to a place that what? All you have to do is have the Word come to you. Why did Jesus have to go down to hell? He had to preach to the lost. What are you going to do? Preach to the lost. The Old Testament saints that were down there had to be dead, but Jesus, the Word, had to come to them, and they had to receive that Word. And in receiving that Word, what Word? He was the full Word. They received the full Word. And because they received the full Word come forth. Oh, we're still, come on. Come on. Is the high priest still here? No, the high priest left when Brother Cam started jumping on us about coming to church. Come on. You see what it is? You're letting your flesh overcome you. Right. Not just about coming to church. You can come to church every service. And if you don't believe that God's going to heal you, that God's going to speak to you, that God is a real God, you're just the same as everyone else.
Amen.
Well, come on! I know that means I'm not picking on anybody. I'm picking on everybody, including myself. The death blow has been extended. God help us.
Come on.
So, here it says, it took the Old Testament saints and went in. There's one rapture already passed. Now, let's continue. I want to read you a few more things. I'll let you go. We only have one service today.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Now, let's see this. Entombment 57, paragraph 97. So they can hear Abraham say, Lord, when we get up in our body again, Sarah and I just loved it so well. Do you mind if we make a little while stop, kind of on your road? What are you saying? No, Brother Branham is dramatizing and saying, here he is, he has went down to hell, and now he's coming up with the Old Testament saints. And Abraham says, hey, it was so nice when we had that young body on the earth. You think we can stop by again just for a little while? Why, I can hear him say, why, no, certainly not. I'm going to stay with my disciples for about 40 days.
Amen.
Look around and see how everything looks.
Amen.
On that glorious Easter morning, where we'll take up in the morning, the Lord willing, when He rose from the dead. The Bible said, according to St. Matthew 27, that many of the saints that slept in the dust of the earth rose and come up out of the grave. Who was it? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job. Those who by spiritual revealed revelation.
Amen.
Know that the Redeemer would stand on the earth someday. That's them. The first fruits of those. That slept. Spiritual revealed revelation. What was their spiritual revealed revelation? That Christ would be walking again on the earth. So what's your spiritual revealed revelation? That Christ would be walking again on earth. There's the revelation. Because this is what? The bride coming of Christ.
Right. Amen.
So do you see what you're believing? To make this rapture?
Come on, brother.
You have to believe that Christ is going to set His feet on this earth again in you. The problem with the message, they believe that God already did it and it's done. Because God did it in a prophet. But the prophet's waiting on me to be raptured. And the only thing that can bring the prophet up is Christ. So how is the prophet going to come out without the manifestation of Christ? Then why would the Word have to be restored if it was not to bring forth Christ?
Amen. Yes. Right, brother.
Not just a revelation, but Christ Himself.
Amen.
The full Word.
Amen. Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, brother.
I don't know if I lost everybody on that. But do you understand if that's you? Still got two happy people up here. Anybody else want to join the party? Do you realize that this spiritual revealed revelation makes you the whole revelation of Jesus Christ?
Come on, brother. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Can I give him a little company? Wait a minute. Isn't this what you've embraced? This is what you've embraced. This is the whole purpose of this church. One time. This is the whole purpose of this church. I'll go with it. This is the whole purpose of this message that was sowed 50 years ago. This is the whole purpose of the message that was sent 50 years ago. So why are you here? Next question. If you are the full revealed Christ right now, How should you act?
Come on. Right, brother.
Well, you'd embrace the full word. And if the full word was embraced, then the full word would be coming down.
Amen.
This is what I love about even statements that have come to me. Why do we preach like this is something far ahead?
Right. Right.
Come on.
Amen.
Why do we accept it as revelation that we're the full word soon?
Amen.
Come on. I have to come into this exception.
Amen.
Every time I finish a sermon. Nobody wants to worship.
Come on.
Nobody's excited.
Come on,
brother. Well, the words, yeah, but okay, there's not much of a preacher. Okay? You can tell that to God because God ordained me to be here.
Amen.
God must have thought I was able to do it.
Oh. Come on, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, Lord.
Ha.
Thank you, Lord.
Why isn't the full word revealed right now? As we're closing service. Why isn't the full word revealed now? Reveal the full word. Isn't this a significant place that we're at? As far as, and I'm not talking location. I'm talking about our timepiece in this word. You are at the most glorious position that this word could ever come to.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. Right.
Mom.
So where's the spiritual revealed revelation?
Amen.
Mom.
Very quickly here. I want to read you one little more thing here to talk. Just maybe share a little something that might encourage you a little bit after that reaming. Mighty Conqueror in 58, E23. He says, on up, he goes to paradise. Let's watch him a moment. He's got to conquer paradise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're running around in paradise. And after a while, a strange rap comes on the door. Abraham opens up the door and he stands amazed. He said, Sarah! Come here just a moment. Do you know who is standing there? Why, she said, Abraham, my Lord. That's the same man that come up to the tent that day. That had his back turned to me. And I laughed in my heart. And he just turned around and told me that I laughed. Oh my. Just about the same time that curiosity on Daniel couldn't stand it any longer. He runs forward. He looked over Sarah's shoulder. He said, there's the stone that I saw cut out of the mountain without hands. This is the revelation at the word coming. This is right when the Old Testament saints were raptured. Every revelation that God had given them had now materialized. What? One more. Ezekiel couldn't stand any longer. He said, what's going on, brother? He looks over Daniel's shoulder. He says, brethren, there's that wheel in the middle of the wheel that I saw turning way up in the middle of the air. He said, I've conquered. Let's go out. The next conquering I got to conquer is the grave. Come go with me, children. I can hear Abraham say, can we make a whistle stop? Yes, I'm going to just talk with my disciples for 40 days. On Easter morning, he conquered the Roman seal. He conquered Joseph's grave. He broke the seal, forth the seal, and destroyed corruption. He rose triumphantly. Lift ye up, ye gates. Lift ye up, ye doors. Let the King of Glory come in. What's your revelation? Mountain, be thou removed. I see Christ manifesting His Word. He led captivity captive. We should be sitting here right now. He led captivity captive. Amen! That's my Jesus! But you got to finish it. And gave gifts unto men. Amen! I see Jesus! Well, come on. The Word's getting ready to come back.
Amen.
Don't you think all the parables, all the symbols you've seen should now be manifesting on what they are?
Amen. Amen.
He had a hard time answering their prayers. Why is he having a hard time answering yours? Should God have a hard time answering your prayers? Where you at? Stand. I know. Might have been a little bit hard. No, it might be a little bit tough. But here you are. You are the bride coming of Christ. You are manifesting this promise. Will you bring forth the Word? Who are you? Who is this King of Glory? David said, the Lord on hosts, He's the King of Glory. I ask you, who is this King of Glory? It's Jesus Christ. Let Him come in. Let who come in? Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
I see Him.
Lord.
He's come.
Amen.
He's come that you might have life and life abundantly.
Amen.
I know. God's got a lot of work to do on these old temples here.
Amen.
They're a little bit busted up. They're a little bit broken. But I ask you, is the same Jesus Christ here today?
Amen.
Could the bride coming of Christ start manifesting today?
Amen.
Depends. Have you seen who's the wheel in a wheel? Have you seen the one who's been able to enter into your sufferings? Have you seen the one who's able to answer your prayers? Have you seen the God who can change your sad moment to being happy? Have you found the God who's triumphed that last, the enemy that is your flesh? Have you found Him trumped? Have you found Him beat? Are you still bruised? Christ was to take the bruising. You were supposed to become the Word. Not a Lutheran word. Not a Wesley word. Not a Pentecost word. You are to be the Word expressed. You can't do it without the Word Himself. Can that God come today and make you the bride coming of Christ? Or has this just been another service? Has this just been a sowing? We say, God, I'm not ready to let go of all my thoughts. I'm not ready to lose my convictions. I'm not ready to lose my way. God knows every heart here. What revelation do you have? Now, with every head bowed, if you've chosen to embrace this Jesus the Christ, would you just raise your hands? And remember, the Word come to them. Can the Word come to you today? Can the Word change you today? Is that your interest? Are you satisfied with your condition? Are you satisfied where you're at? Or do you believe that God could change this church today? I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about individuals. I'm talking about people who have to make a difference. You are called in this earth to change things. Will you become this Word? If that's your desire, let's just raise our hands now. God sees those hands. How many like to say, God, I want to live a better life for you. God, I believe it. Something in me embraces today that you can change my heart. I don't want any worldly desire that's greater than you. From myself all the way down the road, God, let's start with me. Let's pray. Most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. Lord, we know, God, perhaps a little, oh God, long, but God, Lord, when will we become this Word? When will the conviction tear us up, God? When will we believe that this is our commission? We want a rapture, but we don't want to look like the Word. We just want to be a revelation of some sort of a deep thought, God, or some sort of an intellectual conception. But we don't want to manifest this book, God. Lord, we got some subduing to do. We've got some overcoming to show, God. And Lord, we can't do it without you, God. Take our will. Break our lives. Take these wills that have been so hard for us to let go. And let us take this Christ who ascended up on high, that all enemies would be made His footstool. God, I ask as a pastor here, God, make this church, this people, your footstool. The will of our flesh, make it your footstool, God. God, make it a captive of you. And give us gifts today, God. God, bring us this Spirit forward today. Hallelujah. Lord, we accept this Word. Every jot, every tittle of this Word. Lord, thank you for correction. Thank you for trying to humble us, God. Lord, you know in my heart, Lord, this message was for every single one of us. We've got to overcome. God, forgive me, Lord. Lord, I feel something bubbling in me, God. Lord, let it. Let my cup runneth over. God, bring that Christ. Fill us fresh with the Holy Ghost. God, hallelujah. Start a revival in our lives. Thank you for the valid questions that have been asked. Thank you, Lord, for the need for this Word to live. God, I'm not looking for you, Lord, physically to come. I'm looking for you to come in me and to physically come through me. God, help us. Forgive us of our iniquities. Forgive us for our lack of faith, our lack of embracing on this Word, our lack of revelation of this seventh seal, our lack of revelation of what this message come forth to do. God, forgive us. And have your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe it. Saying as a church. Let's sing that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. If you accept this word, let's allow this word to work on us. Let's believe what God has said. Let's stand on it and say, God, let me throw my worldly desires away from what they are. God, let it come back to this word. Let all the symbols that have played forth now become reality in me. Who am I? Bride coming of Christ is your symbol. Let us see reality, God. Let's just sing that song, Create Me a Clean Heart. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Oh God. And renew a right. Oh yes, Lord. Oh Lord, create me a clean heart. Oh God. You need to rededicate your life. Go ahead and do that. And renew a right spirit. Let this word come forth out of me, God. Cast me not away in 2013, God. Lord, and cast me not away from thy presence. Oh, Lord.
Oh, cast me not away. Oh. that Jesus fills. Let Jesus fill. Let Jesus fill my heart. Sing it to him again. Let Jesus fill. Let Jesus. Let Jesus fill. Mean it with your heart. Let Jesus fill. Let Jesus fill my heart. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true.
He is the potter, saints. We will be molded every day, amen. Change my heart, oh God. Oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Oh God, may I be like you. Sing that again. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Oh God, may I be like you. For you are the potter, Lord. For you are the be like you.